Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Hosea chapter 11, covering verses 1 through 7 in our ongoing expository study of the book of Hosea. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. This is part 1.
Too young or anything, but let's get into our current events update. Some of you might have seen this thing with Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is a devil-possessed Democrat, Speaker of the House. I have no doubt the woman has a devil in her. Devil with skin. She supports killing unborn babies. She wants to take your guns away and institute the Antichrist government system. She's a devil. She's a wannabe socialist dictator. She demonstrated that to everybody today. Some of you may have seen what happened to my little... It's gone. Well, I'm going to show you the video. Some of you have seen the video. Let me just insert this picture real quick. Some of you might have seen the little video clip I'm going to show you. But this was a meme that was on social media. They're trying to tell people to vote by mail so that they can cheat. And so they're saying you can't vote in person. It's too dangerous. And you can't open up your hair salons. It's too dangerous. You can riot, but you can't vote or do business. Why? They're trying to get Trump defeated by killing the economy. And that witch tells these people in California that they can't open up their salons, but she goes and gets her hair done. Folks, that's how it happens in socialist countries. Yep. And this, I'm going to show you, once in a while you get the truth from, most of the time it's local news. And this is a local newscast in the Bay Area where Pelosi serves.
Seen getting her hair done inside a San Francisco salon, something that goes against the city's health order, and it's all captured on surveillance video. NBC Bay Area's Gene Elliott is live on Union Street, where that salon is located, with reaction tonight. Gene.
The owner of the salon here on Union Street tells Fox News House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was here yesterday getting a wash and blow dry inside the salon. She shared surveillance video of Speaker Pelosi inside with Fox News. You can see Pelosi with her hair wet, walking inside with her mask down.
What a wicked woman.
This is a violation of San Francisco's health order, restricting business activity because of COVID-19. Hair salons have been closed since March. Only today are they allowed to begin operating outside. A Bay Area attorney who has sued California's governor to allow salons to reopen is outraged.
I represented a lot of hair salons in California that have begged the governor for the right to open safely. They have not been allowed to do that, but I guess if your name is Nancy Pelosi, a different set of rules applies to you. That's really unacceptable.
In a statement, Pelosi's office says the speaker always wears a mask and complies with local COVID requirements.
She's a liar. They had her right on camera not wearing her mask, having her hair done. These people are devils. They're liars. Can you believe that? Listen to what...
...business offered for the speaker to come in on Monday and told her they were allowed by the city to have one customer at a time in the business. The speaker complied with the rules as presented to her by this establishment.
She's blaming the business.
She's thrown him under the bus.
These people are just wicked devils. And that's why these idiots who support socialism just don't seem to get. Here's a little... This is what I had on my phone today. Pelosi fights back and says the salon owes her an apology for setting me up, she says. That's like saying that if your buddy told you that there's some place downtown giving away money, and then you're arrested for bank robbery, blame the guy who told you there was free money. That's what you're dealing with. And on a different note, but still on the issue of lies everywhere. There's this world right now just given over to lies. And these are among pro-Trump people that every few days I see them sneak in attacks on the Bible, on the gospel, on biblical Christianity. I mean, I'm just telling you this stuff because you need to know who your friends are and that the enemy of your enemy is not necessarily your friend. And that goes for people who I think are not really hostile toward us, but they mock Christianity. Jenny, you were watching with me. They're called the Hodge twins. And you remember, he was up there talking about making fun of being a born-again Christian. Born-again Christian, making fun of us. It's just, you need to understand that the church is not a part of any political party. We support those who do right. And we do support the Republican Party platform, for the most part. Not the whole thing. But compared to the Democrat Party, which is a Democrat, satanic platform, they're like night and day. But you got to watch this stuff. Satan will use these people to undercut your faith or to get you to compromise, and they continually post nonsense on the internet. And this was today. You have this. This was from a pro-Trump website or a social media page. Why do religions have different gods but the same Satan? You see that? With that little look. They're trying to make it look like that religion and belief in God is stupid. And I replied to the post that I saw and I said, they don't. Because that's just a false statement. Religions do have different gods, but they don't have the same Satan.
Say all false religions have the same God, and it is Satan.
That's true. That's true. Right there it is. But here's a summary of Satan. According to the Bible, Satan was Lucifer, the cherub, who rebelled against God and fell. Now, that's not what the other religions teach. But you can go into the Bible, and here are some references. Read these. Genesis 3, Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. We just read in that in our Bible calendar just a few days ago. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, Matthew 4, and Revelation 12. I believe Luke 4 you can throw in there too, but those are all passages where you get the truth about Satan. And in Islam, for example, Satan-like character, not Satan. They have a Satan-like character called Iblis. And other than being bad, he is not the same as the Bible Satan. He's a jinn. And they claim there are these beings called jinns, J-I-N-N, not angels. And but he's not the biblical Satan. There's really no comparison other than they're both bad. They're both evil. So that meme right there is false. Islam doesn't have Satan. They don't have the same Satan. The meme said it did. They don't. Hinduism has millions of gods, small g. They're devils with some very satanic, but not the same as the Bible, Satan. So out of these millions of gods in the Hindu mythology, and it really is based on, a lot of it's based on hallucinations that they have using mind-altering substances, mind-altering meditations, and so forth. Some are because they're devil-possessed and they come out with these new gods and things over the many centuries. But Hinduism doesn't have the same Satan. So that meme is a lie again. And then in Satanism, of all things, People, a lot of people don't realize that in Satanism, they do not believe in an actual person called Satan. Satan does not exist in Satanism. Satan is a principle, or what you might call a philosophy of life. But they do not believe in the biblical Satan. And then most cults actually agree. If you go into any of the New Age cults, for example, they do not believe in an actual person called Satan, but a principle or philosophy of life. So that meme was completely false. But you'll hear people quote, like it and post on it. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. That's a good point. No, it's not a good point. It's stupid because it's false. They don't think and they don't take time to look anything up. They're lazy and ignorant. Satan's best weapon is to deceive. His best weapon to deceive is his ability to hide his true identity. Get that? His best weapon to deceive you is his ability to hide his true identity. Look over at 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. And Paul is dealing with all the false teachers, false preachers. And verse 13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Meaning they're not really apostles. And look at verse 14. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." See, Satan's best weapon is to deceive people by pretending he's something he's not. And that's part and parcel with that meme that you just saw. Verse 15 says, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So people say, "You shouldn't pick on other people's religions. You shouldn't talk about other preachers." Yes, I should. I should warn all the false religions and warn about all the false preachers. And if your preacher doesn't, he's a fake. He's a hireling. Real preachers warn about the fakes. Only a fool would develop a belief about Satan that is not based on Scripture. If you develop your beliefs about Satan because of what grandma told you, and grandma isn't quoting the Bible, or what your mother told you, or your father told you, or your best friend told you, or your Sunday school teacher told you, or your pastor told you, doesn't matter who it is, if you're listening to somebody and they're not basing it on Scripture, you're a fool if you follow that. Anytime anybody says anything about the devil or anything else that the Bible speaks of, the Bible is our authority. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." I mean, I've had discussions with people and just told them what the Bible says about the devil, and they do not believe me. It's not me they don't believe, it's the Bible they don't believe. Regardless of the subject matter, don't speak until you let God's Word speak. Then you conform to whatever it says. The best advice ever given to me was, if someone asks you a question, do not... I'm going to say the best advice on this question of answering issues. I've got to be careful. I try not to sweep with a broom or paint with a broom. You sweep with a broom. You don't paint with a broom. But in regards to answering questions that people have about the Bible, the best advice given to me was, don't be afraid to say, "I don't know." This isn't about you and I being tested as to whether we're walking encyclopedias. But the right answer, if you don't know the answer, is, "I don't know. Let me look that up and get back with you." And if they then say, "Well, look at you, you don't even know," well, then you're dealing with an idiot. They don't really care about what God's Word is staying on the matter. They don't want to learn. That's who I was talking about just a minute ago. Emails me with these gotcha questions. I don't have time for them, and neither should you. I will never stop doing that. Now, online, I may not have paid much attention to that, but that was very loud. That's how loud it's supposed to be right there. That's the end of our current events update. All right. Well, we're going to open with prayer before we get into our Bible study and just ask the Lord's help. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to teach from this book. We thank you for the end of the hundreds of people who were with us either live or immediately after watching Sunday. And we're thankful you're helping us work out the bugs. And folks were able to watch the edited form the day after, but we think we figure out how to allow people to just watch the live stream in different time zones. They may need to watch it 3, 4, 5, 6 hours later. And tonight, Lord, for everyone who's joined us, we thank you for them. Those who will watch this later on or those who watch and listen to the edited version, we just thank you for the opportunity to teach your book and pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Oh, by the way, just as a note for the locals, we do plan on September 9th, which is next Wednesday, opening the doors again. And so we'll have our one more Sunday service with just Jenny and I, and then next Wednesday, open the doors again. But getting into our study, Hosea 11, we're going to cover verses 1 through 7, Lord willing, and the church don't rise. So let's begin by reading, beginning in verse 1 through verse 7. Wherever you are, you can read out loud or just read along with us. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refused to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. All God's people say amen. Israel, I think we've got it by now that God's making a very dogmatic pronouncement. Israel will be punished, but God's love will persist and eventually prevail. God's love, you could say, prevailed at the cross when the Jewish Messiah died and paid for the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we did not deserve that amazing act of love, the greatest act of love in history. But God's love for Israel will not be realized fully until Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons and tribes of Israel are once again in the land under their king, Jesus, with David also sitting on a throne there in Jerusalem during the millennial reign for 1,000 years. And that's when this will be fully realized. But we begin there in verse 11, a verse that may sound familiar to you. We hear it a lot of times at Christmas. It says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. So this has dual application. And some of you who might be more recent listeners haven't heard this, but we have demonstrated this over and over and over throughout the book of Daniel, throughout the book of Revelation, and many other places. Dual fulfillment of prophecies. It's Isaiah, you'll see it, and in the Psalms, you'll see it. And here is an example of dual application of this prophecy. It refers to Israel, the nation, and God prophesied that he would do what he did when he brought Israel out of Egypt. But this also applies to Jesus. So that's the dual application. The Exodus fulfills the first application. Even though it's already been fulfilled, it was a prophecy before it happened. You remember God told Abraham that he was going to do that. And it was fulfilled when Israel came up out of Egypt. So that phrase, if you look it up in your Bible, out of Egypt, appears 74 times, the whole phrase, in quotes. 74 times in the Bible, out of Egypt. But God applies Hosea 11:1 to Jesus, specifically in Matthew chapter 2. Let's turn over and look. Matthew chapter 2, and this is why you hear it sometimes in the Christmas cantatas or even some of the plays for the kids. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. This is when you see the wise men who have seen the star, and they verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then verse 11, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You always see that, usually see that in the Christmas pageants and such. Then verse 12, it says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And then our text picks up in verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So here is Joseph being told to take Mary and the child and go into Egypt. Then in verse 14 says, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And we're not told much about what happened during that trip and while they're there. It just says in verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And so that in verse 15 is referring to the text we just read in Hosea 11:1. There's not much better assurance that you're interpreting Bible prophecy correctly than when God, the Holy Spirit, explains it to you. We say frequently that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And I'm reading a book right now called Before Jerusalem Fell. And I cannot remember the guy's name now. I think it's Gentry who wrote it. And he's trying to prove that the book of Revelation was written before 70 A.D., and he's doing so to try to support his preterist position on Bible prophecy, which basically says all those prophecies in Matthew 24 and the book of Revelation and other places like that were already fulfilled. And get this. When they believe that when Jesus talks about his return, he's talking about 70 AD when a Roman general, Titus, came down on Israel and killed almost all the Jews and left only a remnant alive. And what I'm mentioning that because if you don't let the Bible just speak and let it say what it says, he even mocks or at least derides those of us who are the at face value crowd. Why? Because we take the Bible at face value. We look at the context. We look at who's speaking to who. Where, and many times in Revelation, we see the explanation of Revelation in the other 65 books of the Bible. And this guy totally ignores anything that contradicts his personal views. And so he ignores most of the explanations of the book of Revelation found in the other. Like we referenced Revelation 12. You back to, I believe it's Genesis 36 to 39 right in there. And that's where you find the answers to who the woman is. What do the stars represent? And all these other things. But that's the best way to understand the Scripture is to watch for when God Himself explains it. And we have an example right there. So God's love for the nation of Israel and individual sinners is not merited. Both of these fulfillments of this prophecy are, one is about the nation of Israel and their future glory, and the other is about saved sinners, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And in both cases, God's love is not, it says, and when Israel was a child, then I loved him. It wasn't merited. It wasn't merited by Israel's goodness. Look over at Deuteronomy 7. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. An amazing explanation. I've had people ask me, you know, why I don't believe in Israel being God's chosen. They don't deserve it. That's what people like Steve Anderson and Tex Mars and people who have been attacking Israel for the last however many years they've been in ministry. They'll say that. And you know that they're right. We don't deserve to be saved, and Israel doesn't deserve to be the chosen. God agrees with you too, but He still says that they are. Your argument saying they don't deserve it doesn't change the fact. God tells you so right here in Deuteronomy 7, beginning verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now that settles it. That's it. If that's all we were told, that's all we need to know. But he goes on to explain. Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you. And just look at that. The Lord did not set his love upon you, in verse 7. And then in verse 8, but because the Lord loved you. Why did the Lord love Israel? Because he wanted to. And you can't do nothing about it. If you don't like it, get over it. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. There it is. Hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt.